Tax day is April 18th, which means we all just have days to finish the job of filing. It is the topic of our WGN Associated Bank Thought Leader Conversation today. We do those conversations every Thursday here on The Opening Bell, and we're happy to have Doug Myers with us today, Senior Vice President and Private Banking Regional Manager. Doug, welcome back to The Opening Bell.
Thank you, Steve. Good to be here.
Busy time for a lot of folks. It's that go time for taxes.
Yes, it seems to be a busy time. In fact, my accountant is next door here on Michigan Avenue, and I was calling him to take him to lunch like a good banker should do, and he tells me he can't come up for air until at least after April, and then everybody's extending into August, and then most people extend to October. So his life is busy really till October, and it's a crunch time for these guys. What do we have, a couple, 12 more days before filing deadline?
Yeah, it's not a job that it's their busy time, their good time, but I don't really think it's a job I'd like to have.
No, they seem to be, you know, relaxed in the fall and then start again for the next tax season. So it's never ending.
From a wealth management standpoint, which is your area of expertise, what is the most important thing we should all be thinking about as we get ready to put pen to paper on these taxes?
Well, I think, excuse me, obviously people think that they can do something prior to the tax deadline, and really it's a little bit too late. You know, when we talk to our clients, we talk to them in the fall prior to the year end, which is the tax deadline for getting your tax strategies in order. And there are certain strategies which you can do. Take certain deductions, such as charitable deductions, which come off your AGI. And also, you might want to think about liquidating certain securities to make your charitable deductions if those securities have some gains in them, which might be a good time to sell, or they might have some losses even, and which would be a good time to sell because there'd be no tax consequence, and they'd further get the tax benefits of giving to the charitable deductions. So there are some things you can do. Certain real estate limited partnerships you can structure to take advantage of some tax deductions as well.
At what point is it good to go to a tax professional? If we have a lot of investments, if there's a lot of wealth to manage there, is that generally the time?
I would say so. I mean, there are some great programs. For example, TurboTax is a very user-friendly vehicle to prepare your own taxes, but that's typically for a person who's got, you know, W-2 wages, might have a few deductions. But I think with the complexity of the tax structure now, you really need to go to an accountant, especially if you have deductions such as school tuitions, medical deductions, interest and dividends. All that plays into it, and it's gotten more and more complicated as we've gotten older, I think.
Aside from waiting until the last minute to do taxes, what is the biggest mistake that people make who are filling out these forms?
I think not taking all the allowed deductions. There's so many small loopholes that Congress has passed over the years, and it's gotten so complex that you really feel like you have to go to an expert to do it now. It's very hard to do it yourself.
Yeah, one of the things I like about TurboTax, I generally use that, is it updates every year and, you know, has these nice screen prompts that say, hey, this has changed from last year, this has changed from last year. But sometimes when you have a lot of extra zeros at the end, it is probably not a good idea to try this alone.
Well, and it might not be necessarily a lot of zeros on the end, but just a lot of little things that go on in your financial situation that just requires an expert to go through it.
We hear a lot of talk about possible tax reform. That's probably not going to happen before next tax year, is it? You think it's hard to say.
You know, I think the current administration wants to tackle it and to do some changes. Whether they can be successful, like health care was not, we'll wait and see. It's a big political football right now, obviously.
One of the things that we can do, I mean, obviously the bill is due, the tax bill is due, but once we're done with that, there are things we can organize for next year, right, with W-4s and all of that kind of stuff, things to look, maybe make more contributions to our retirement accounts. What would you suggest in that area?
Well, that's a good point, and I think the basic thing you have to look at, and especially for younger people starting out in their career, is take advantage of that 401k. You know, it's pre-tax, so anything that goes into your 401k is not taxed, and it grows tax deferred, And so it's not taxed until you take it out as income, which is 59 and a half. So young people starting out their career, they might be 21, they might be 26 or 7, but it's a good time to start taking advantage of that 401k deduction. And a lot of companies will match 3 to 6%. And when that comes out of your paycheck every month, you know, the company's matching that, and all of a sudden they're getting 100% on their investment. You know, where else can you get that kind of return on anything that you put in as an investment? So we always tell our younger clients, take advantage of the deductions and take advantage of that 401k as much as you can.
And now would be the time that you could, after tax time, figure that out and see what kind of help or hindrance it's been.
Absolutely.
And it's free money, too. This is the other thing. You mentioned that that's 3 to 6%, and the match is, you know, we hear at the Tribune it's that. This is free money that would be similar to a salary.
It is. It's very hard as a young person when you're 21 or 25, pick a number, to think about, okay, I need to take away 6 or 10% of my money and put it in long-term for my retirement. It's a very hard concept to think about when you're that young. But the tables show that if you start early, as opposed to when you're, let's say, 38 or 40, where a lot of people do, the difference is amazing. And the tables show that you can never catch up if you start, for example, at 40, as opposed to 21. And so if you can just start with the discipline of putting away that money, maybe 5%, maybe 6% every month and get used to it, that's going to be a good discipline that's going to benefit you for the rest of your life.
Filing an extension is always out there. That's an option for folks who can't make the deadline. I've never had to do this, but it always seems kind of silly to me because you have to pay if you pay, if you owe, right? You still have to pay money.
You do. You have to pay, and then you can file the extension. Yeah. But they want your money when it's due, and that's the April 18th for this year.
We're hearing a lot about the IRS being understaffed and out-taxed, I guess, is a good way to describe it. How does that impact what we're doing right now, heading up to the 18th?
You know, that's a good question, and I don't know. I know I have a letter from the IRS, and I'm expecting a refund from last year, and it said I would get it in 6 weeks, and that letter was dated February 2nd. So I've yet to see it. So, you know, the government is a big entity, and sometimes we don't know what goes behind the closed doors.
Obviously, if through the year you're putting too much in and you're getting a big refund at the end of the year, that's your money. But if that's your situation, do you think it's a good idea to maybe invest your tax return if you're getting a big one instead of spending it on something?
You know, absolutely. And what I say, excuse me, is, you know, spend a little on yourself and feel good about it, but take away the rest and invest it. And, you know, if you can get into that discipline, especially, as I mentioned, at an early age, you can reap great benefits down the road for that.
We're hearing a lot these days about these new digital applications, the apps, the other things that are available for folks in the banking area. But wealth management is having a hard time catching up, or they're lagging behind. What's going on with that?
As we've talked before, there's so many applications and online platforms that help people with their investing. And there's some good ones on the market, but they seem to be a little basic. And wealth management is all about a relationship. It's all about our consultative process in managing people's finances. And I think without that personal relationship and without the one-on-one expertise that we provide our clients, you're not going to get that online. You're not going to get that from one of these robo financial planning modules that are out there. And they're becoming prevalent. But I think when you look at a true wealth management platform like we offer, it's looking at all aspects of someone's financial condition. And some of these online platforms are not able to adequately do that.
I saw a report recently, only 41% of wealth management products are available online. Given what you've just said, do you think that will ever change? Do you think this is always going to be an uphill battle?
I think there's always going to be the technology aspect. I mean, I think it's going to be more and more enhanced as we go along, and hopefully we'll still have a need for people like me to talk to clients and to give them some expertise and financial advice.
You've mentioned millennials a couple times. How hard is it to get them to understand the whole savings part, the whole wealth management aspect of it? Because some of them have money, right? I mean, they're just not doing what they should be doing in terms of saving.
You know, it's a generation that we're studying a lot, and it's very interesting because a lot of them are making a lot of money, and we see a lot of differing opinions on what to do with their money. And, you know, it's a challenge, and I think we're all learning how to, number one, manage millennials in the workplace. I read a study, and in 20 years, I think we're going to have 75% of the millennials now in the workforce, and it's going to change. I mean, they're very technology-oriented. They have different values, I think, than we were brought up having. And I'm not saying that's bad. It's just different. And we all are going to learn to adjust to that.
The challenge for the flip side of that spectrum, people who are maybe in their late 40s or early 50s, if they've not done a good job of saving, they're in a lot of trouble probably. What advice could you give them to lessen the impact of that?
You know, I would say continue to try to put away money and invest and save for your retirement. And I think, you know, you're behind the eight ball if you wait till you're 40 years old. A lot of the baby boomers have been very materialistic in acquiring possessions, and I think that's going to make it hard for them to retire. And I think traditional retirement going forward is going to look very differently than what our parents thought of. I think a lot of people feel like they want to continue to work in their 70s and even 80s, and we see that sometimes. And so I think the current view of retirement is looking very differently than what our grandfathers and what our parents looked at for retirement.
As we look at the stock market over the course of this year since the election, it's been doing really, really well. How does that translate into, or how does that impact our wealth management?
I think it gives, there's a very high level of consumer confidence, especially because of the stock market, as you mentioned. I think people feel like that the market's going to continue to do well. I think there's going to be a couple of interest rate increases this year. And if you're a net saver, that can be a very good thing. If you're into a lot of debt, let's say floating rate debt, that might be a bad thing as interest rates increase. But I think overall the optimism is there in the economy. I think people feel good about the market. I think companies are feeling good about revenues and their growth. So I think the prospect is good for continued strong market this year.
Doug, good to see you. We'll see you again next month.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Doug Myers is the Senior Vice President and Private Banking Manager, Regional Manager at Associated Bank. Remember, you can listen to our past conversations at WGNRadio.com on the opening bell page and follow Associated Bank at Associated Biz on Twitter.